Well, once again, as Jane shared, our missions team is away in the Middle East, and this is a picture of them. They got to visit and go to the beach. They didn't swim in the beach, but they did get to go see the beach, and they saw camels, too, when they were there. They are away in the Middle East, and they return this Tuesday morning. So please be in prayer. Hopefully you received the prayer guide that we handed out last week, and it goes through each day of something you can pray for and some scripture. And so please be in prayer each day until they return. And if you didn't get one, we do have some back there, still left over on the table out in the foyer. But this month we've been talking about missions, not just because we have sent a missions team, but because we are in preparation for getting ready for a Lottie Moon Christmas offering. But we've been talking about missions. We've been preaching through a series on missions that we're calling Sent. So today we continue on with that. Growing up, just to give you a little bit of history for me. Growing up, my dad served in the United States Army, and so we moved around a lot. But growing up, wherever we went, we always ended up being a part of a church, and more than likely, it was a Southern Baptist church. And it seemed that everywhere we went, every church that we were a part of. In Southern Baptist churches, it was just ingrained in everything that was done, this theme of missions. Each church that we're a part of, they would bring in missionaries, and they would come up and they would share what's going on across the world, and we would support missionaries. We'd have their face up and their name and information up on a bulletin board, and we would talk about them all the time and pray for them, and we would send money every month to support them. We would go on mission trips. I actually went on a bunch of different mission trips growing up. And then also, when we were stationed, my family was stationed in Germany for a few years, we were part of the European Baptist Convention. This is where all of the Baptist churches in Europe would come together, and they would work in cooperation with each other, and we were heavily involved with that. My dad served as associate brotherhood director, or yeah, he served with that, and every year they would have an annual meeting, and they would come together, all the different missionaries and pastors and churches. They would come together in Switzerland. And they would meet together for a few days, a week or whatever, and they would just, it would be a time of encouragement and refreshment. And we always went. And I remember when we would go, I was just a little kid, but I always thought it was special. And not just because we got to go to Switzerland, and Switzerland is one of the most beautiful places in the world, but because it was just so neat that we would go and we would be in this place where we would be worshiping with Christians who were serving all over Europe. And oftentimes, there'd be missionaries from Africa or Asia or the Middle East there as well. But we would serve with these, we would see these missionaries, and I would meet them, and it would just make me so excited. Even as a little kid, they were my heroes. Not that I idolized them or that there was anything about them, but they were doing this job that I just knew, I didn't fully understand, but I knew it was important. As a matter of fact, I had this Bible as a kid, and I would take it with me, and whenever I would meet missionaries, I would ask them to write on the inside cover of my Bible, and they would write a little note and a little encouragement, and every year I would take it, and they would sign it, and I still have it today, and they some very encouraging. I went back and I was reading it this morning just to read some of the notes, and it was really neat to read what they were what they had written to me. But missions is something that is very important for Southern Baptists, and we are a Southern Baptist church. And this emphasis on missions, both at home or locally, and also around the world, is a huge thing. And it's been so important to us as Southern Baptists that we created some organizations specifically to focus on that. We have the North American Mission Board, which focuses on missions in North America. And we also have the International Mission Board, which focuses on missions around the world. And so we here at Rileyville, we support those missions organizations. We give to those as a regular part of our offerings. But we also, we take up a special offering twice a year. And coming up around Christmas in a couple of weeks, we'll be talking about it, is the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And that is an offering named after a missionary who was a missionary in China. And it will go towards international missions. And so we give to these organizations because these organizations will train up new missionaries, and then also they will send out missionaries all across the world. And they go to places that we might never be able to go so that the gospel will be proclaimed around the world. And we give because we can't always go, but we can support those who can go. And so missions is important because it takes the good news of Jesus Christ into a lost and dying world. Because how will they call upon him of whom they have never believed? And how will they believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how will they hear unless someone tells them? Missions is important. Would you agree with that, church? Missions is important. But missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is the ultimate goal of the church. Now, before I go any further, I want to share a quote from a book that I read, and it's a book that I recommend every one of you going home and getting online and ordering it, purchasing it, reading it, and having it on your shelf. But it is a book by Pastor John Piper called Let the Nations Be Glad. He wrote this book back in 1993, and it is still important today, and it is a very good book on missions. And as a matter of fact, we're going to take some of the points that he makes in this quote that we're about to read, and we're going to talk about it today. But I want to read a quote from the very first paragraph of the very first page, because the two points that he makes are going to be ours for today. And he says this: missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exists because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. Worship, therefore, is the fuel and the goal of missions. Missions begins and ends with worship. That's good stuff, isn't it? Well, you're going to have to go home and read the rest of that book. I'm not going to read the whole book to you. But you can go home and buy it and read it. But I do want us to focus on two big points that he makes, and we're going to expand on that. But two big points that he makes, and that is this: worship is the goal of missions, and worship is the fuel of missions. And we're going to unpack that. But before we go any further, we're going to look at our key scripture for today. And so if you would turn with me to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 15. And you'll recognize these verses because our memory verses for the month come out of these verses. But we're going to see how these verses are going to be an anchor for us today as we unpack this idea that worship is the goal and the fuel of missions. So let's read it together. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 15. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Say it with me, church. How then will they call on him they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have made a promise that only you can keep and you do keep, that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And Lord, we believe it. It is our hope, it is our anchor, it is our life. And because we believe it, Lord, motivate us to believe that missions is also important, that telling others about this is important. Lord, today as we talk about your word, open up our hearts and our minds to receive and understand it. Speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So missions exists because worship doesn't. Missions exist because worship doesn't. God's desire for the world is that we would love him and serve him and worship him. Not just here in Rileyville, but in every nation and tribe and tongue. That true worship of God would ring out from all across the world. That is God's desire. However, it doesn't. It doesn't. There isn't a lack of worship around the world. No, everybody worships something. But God's desire and purpose for humanity, from the very beginning of creation till the very end of creation, is that true worship of him would be across the world. True worship of him, the God of the Bible. And so because worship doesn't exist across the world, God has given us a method by which to change that, to be active in that, and that is called missions. And so because worship doesn't exist, God has given us this method, and that is our first point. Worship is the goal of missions. Worship is the goal of missions. We go into all of the world and we make disciples and we send those beautiful feet across the world to preach the good news that there is forgiveness of sins only through Jesus Christ, so that some people from every nation and every tribe and every tongue from every land will believe and confess with their mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and that they would be saved. Amen? That was a weak amen. So that people from every nation and tribe and tongue will believe and confess with their mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and be saved.
Amen.
Amen. So that their true worship will join the chorus of other believers, and God's praises will be lifted high. There's a very powerful hymn called All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and it says it this way. Let every kindred, every tribe, on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng, we at his feet may fall, and we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We want the gospel of Jesus Christ to go into all the world so that people in Page County, Mexico, Venezuela, Sudan, Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Russia, China, Korea, so that people all across the world, they will worship God now and for all eternity with us in heaven. Luke chapter 10, verse 2, Jesus tells his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." You can see missions here, right? Can you see that? That he's talking about missions? He starts off and he says, pray, just like we talked about last week, the importance of prayer. Pray that people would be sent into the harvest. Sent out to preach the gospel, like we read about in Romans 10. Pray that God would send out those who would be bold to preach the good news. And when Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, he's talking about the souls of people who are eager to hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like Pastor Dan shared with us through Jane, there are people all across the world, specifically in Arab nations, they're having visions. They're having dreams where Jesus is coming to them and saying, believe. All across the world, people are seeking. There's a reason why there is not a lack of worship. Everybody worships something. Why? Because we are seeking the truth. And so we pray that Jesus would send out workers into the harvest. The harvest is plentiful. These are souls that are ready to hear the gospel and believe. But what are they harvesting for? What are we sending out to harvest for? Well, Jesus answers that in John chapter 4, verse 23. He says, "The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to," what? "Worship him." The goal of the harvest, the goal of missions, is not to send out more missionaries. The goal of the church in missions is not to have a missionary in every country. The goal of missions is for people to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We send out teams across the world and into our own backyard, so that we as a church might have some small part in seeing the lost be found. We are recruiting for a heavenly worship choir. You're already a part of it. And we're recruiting more people to sing next to us in this heavenly worship choir, to worship next to us. And this looks different because everybody's different. It looks different in different ways, different churches, different methods, different peoples, because everybody's different. People in Page County are different than people in the Middle East. Different than people in Washington, D.C., right? Why do we serve here in Page County? Why do we serve at Luray Middle School? Why do we have a desire to adopt them and serve them and minister them? It's because we want to see families in Page County worship God in spirit and in truth. Why do we support pastors and church planners like Bezad, who was here a month ago? Why do we support pastors and church planners so that people living up the street in our nation's capital will worship God in spirit and in truth? Why do we send teams on mission trips across the world so that people who we can so easily just write off as our enemies? We can easily do that, right? We just, because of where they live, we can write them off as our enemies. We send trips, teams on these trips so that people who we so easily can write off as our enemy will instead worship the God of the Bible and sing next to you in the choir. Worship is the goal of missions. Above our pride, above our ego, above our own comfort zone, worship is the goal of missions. And that can be difficult to understand. It can be difficult to get behind. But the only way that we can understand it is our second point. Worship is the fuel of missions. Pastor John Piper explains this by saying, passion for God in worship precedes the offer of God in preaching. You can't commend what you don't cherish. When a passion for God is weak, zeal for missions will be weak. Basically, what he's saying is this: if you are not passionately worshiping God, you will not have passion to tell others about him. Let me say it again. If you are not passionately worshiping the Lord, then you will not have a passion to tell others about him. And this is true. We know it's true because we are not eager to talk about and share things that we don't care about. We're not eager to invest in things that we don't care about. And that's across the board in all aspects of our lives. Let me give you an example. It's a silly example. Some years ago, some friends of mine asked me to be a part of their fantasy football league. If you're not laughing, you should be, because I am the last person anyone should ever ask to be a part of a fantasy football league, because I'm not really into sports, and so I like sports, but I'm not that much into it. But I joined this fantasy football league because my friends asked me, and I said, okay, sure, and they promised me that I would just think it was the greatest thing. So for those who don't know what a fantasy football league is, basically it is an imaginary game where people use real-life players in a real season of football, and they put together their own imaginary team of football players and teams, and then based on how the real-life players and teams do in that season, will give you points on your imaginary team. That's about the best I can explain it, right? So, if you want something, a better explanation, there are about 150 people in this room who could probably explain it better than me. But I joined it, and I said, sure, I'll do this. For the first few weeks, I just was figuring out what I was doing, right? I didn't even know how it worked. It was all online, and I'm sitting there at my computer, and I'm just clicking and going, okay, well, how do I don't know. I didn't watch football. I didn't even really know who most of the players were for that season on those teams, right? I didn't know any of those things. And so what did I stop doing? I stopped looking at it. I genuinely just stopped looking at it. I stopped checking it. As a matter of fact, I just altogether just didn't even think about it. Then apparently these weeks go by, and apparently there's this thing called playoffs. I get a phone call from the league manager or league captain, the guy who was running, and he goes, did you know that you made it to the second round of the playoffs? And my response was, what playoffs? Right? Apparently, you can make it to the second round. You can actually make it all the way to third place in the entire season without ever checking it. And I did. I made it to third place that year. And I promise you, I didn't even look at it once. But I didn't look at it because I didn't care about it. I didn't talk about it with anybody because it wasn't something that I cared about. And so I didn't put forth any effort into it. And this is true about missions. If we are not passionate about worshiping our Heavenly Father, then we will not have anything to draw from to speak about Him. If we're not passionate about worshiping our Heavenly Father, we will not invite other people to do it too. However, the things that we do love, we can't stop talking about. The things that we do love, we're willing to pour time and energy and money into, right? I thought about taking a quick poll to see how many men went into debt buying guns or fishing rods or something like that, but I didn't want to embarrass anybody. So I have this example. It's another fun example. So my son, Asher, he loves video games. And there's one or two video games that he just really, really loves. And you would never know by talking with him that he really only gets like a little bit of time to play those video games. You would think just by talking with him that that's all he ever does. But it's not. But he loves it. And it takes all of about 2 minutes to talk with him in a conversation before he starts talking about that video game. And he loves it so much, he'll just talk about it all the time. He'll talk about it, and I'll be at the breakfast table. You know, first thing in the morning, I'm sipping my coffee, and he sits down, and all of a sudden, he just starts talking. He just goes right into it. Because what he's doing is, the night before bed, he was talking about it, and I told him, okay, it's time for bed. We have to stop talking about this. He says, okay. He puts a pin in it, and he goes to sleep. The very next morning, he sits down, and he just picks right back up where he left off, and he starts talking about it. And I have to say, son, we have to wait until Daddy's had his coffee before we can talk about video games, right? But he's passionate about it, and so that's all he wants to talk about. And whenever he has the opportunity to buy a toy or ask for a toy, he wants a toy about that video game. And that's all he cares about. When we are passionate about something, we talk about it. When we're passionate about something, we support it. When we're passionate about something, we dress up like it. We wear the jerseys and we paint our faces, or we take off our shirts and stand out there and holler and hoop and we yell and we scream and we pour money into it and we pour everything into the things that we're passionate about, right? Worship is the fuel for missions. Our love and our worship of God, our love and our obedience to His word is what propels our feet forward to bring the good news. We read verses like Romans chapter 10 about going and sinning, and we would all say, yes, that's true, that's good, we agree with it. But it doesn't become a reality for us if there is not a passion in our worship that overflows into our hands and our feet and our mouths. Now, when I talk about worship being the fuel, I'm not talking about a style of music, and I'm not talking about any kind of fervency in which we sing and do music together during a service. I'm talking about your love and obedience to the Lord. When we remember who God is and what God has done, then we will obey His commands. Worship is the goal of missions, and worship is the fuel of missions. So, what does this mean for us? That sounds good, but what does it mean? What do we do with this? Well, first, we have to have a difficult, honest assessment of ourselves and our hearts. Are you nurturing a passion for missions? Do you support missions in your heart? When you hear about opportunities to go and to share the gospel, whether it's here in Page County or around the world, do you embrace that? Does it make you excited? Or do you push away from it and think, no, that's not my thing? Do you push back and say, that's not really what I do? That's not what I'm about. That's not where I'm called. I don't really care about that. See, this is all well and good, but if we don't have an honest conversation about this with ourselves, it's just noise. If you're not willing to ask yourself that hard question, then I'm just talking to myself right now. Beloved, if our passion for missions is weak, it indicates that our passion for God is weak. And I know that is a hard statement to hear, but that doesn't make it untrue. If our passion for missions is weak, it indicates that our passion for God is weak. So we can let missions be a kind of litmus test to see where our passions are. Pastor Dan often quotes the missionary Charles Studd, who said, "The light that shines farthest shines the brightest nearest home." If our light is not shining that far, then it's not that bright here. So I'm not saying, just to be clear, I am not saying that you don't love God if you don't go on a mission trip to the Middle East. That's not what I'm saying. So don't equate those two things. We cannot all go, but we must all have a passion to see the gospel go. Which means that we will support that in whatever ways that we can. We cannot all go, but we have to all have a passion to see the gospel go, which means that we must support it in whatever ways that we can. So what are some of those ways? What are some of those ways? Oh man, that is tiny. I apologize for the tiny words up there. I'll read it to you anyway. So what are some ways that you can support missions? What are some ways that you can support the gospel going into all the world? Well, to start off, you can pray. We talked about this last week. You can pray. Pray for the leadership of our church as we determine how best to go. Pray for our missions team, not our mission trip team. You pray for them too, but pray for our missions team. It is a team of people that we as a church have put together to help us be focused on missions. Pray for them. Pray for wisdom. Pray for guidance. Then also pray for our mission trip teams. We gave out a prayer guide last week, so that you could go and every day you can be praying. Because guess what? It's a newsflash. I know it's a surprise to you, but you didn't go on the trip. But you can pray. You can be actively involved in supporting by praying. That's why we handed that out. Have you been? I'm not going to lie. I had a couple of people come up and ask, when do they leave today? It's okay. It just means you weren't praying, but you can keep praying now. You could start praying now. Pray for them as they're gone. You couldn't go. Pray for the ones that could. Pray for our missionary partners, the churches and the pastors that we support, the missionaries that they went to go visit. Pray for them. Pray for our local opportunities. We have opportunities here in Page County. Pray for them. Next, you can give. You can support financially whenever you hear a need. We give of our time and our treasure. Support whenever you hear need. Give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and this is coming up in a few weeks. Give towards our mission teams being able to go. Help support those who can go financially. Buy items for Operation Christmas Child. Buy items for the Thanksgiving baskets. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Don't wait until your treasure gets there. Put your treasure where you want your heart to go, and then your heart will follow. And then lastly but not least, you can go. You can go. There are so many different ways that you can go. For instance, you can support and volunteer for the Luray Middle School lunch duty. Every Wednesday, people from our church go to Luray Middle School and they stand in the cafeteria so that the teachers can have a break. And of course, they do. There's a little bit more to it as far as walking around. We get to talk to the kids. We get to help keep the chaos at bay. Because it can become anarchy very quickly without the adult supervision, right? But you can go. And it's just giving up an hour and a half of your time on a Wednesday. And we've got it scheduled down where it's not every Wednesday. You don't have to go every Wednesday. We're on a rotation. I go once a month. And it is fantastic. You can go locally. You can come this Wednesday and help pack for the Operation Christmas Child packing party. What are you doing this Wednesday evening at 6:30? Could you sacrifice it to come and go into all the world by sending boxes that'll send the gospel out to people across the world? It's an hour and a half of your time. Maybe you can go on a mission trip. This was my wife's first mission trip. It's the first time she's ever been out of the country on a mission trip. And she was really excited to go. But you know what? For the longest time, she thought, that's not really my thing. But this trip came up, and she said, I think I can go on this. I think I will go on this. And you know what? You're going to hear it next week when they report. By the way, next Sunday, you need to be here next Sunday because the team is going to be in here. They're going to have this time, and they're going to be sharing about their trip. But you're going to hear about how great of a time she's had and how impactful it was on her. One who thought she could never go, and she did, and it's been great for her. You can go. You can go. Pray, give, go. But in all of this, we must continue to worship the Lord, because worship is the fuel of missions. Remember who God is. Remember what He has done. Obey His commands. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Declare His praises. Sing unto the Lord. Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And as we do that, it will just pour out of us. It'll pour out of us. And we will see the gospel go into all the world. As we close this morning, I want us to look at one last scripture together, and that's Psalm 96, verses 1 through 10. And I want you, that's pretty small too, sorry. I want you to take note. I want you to listen, you can read along, but I want you to take notice of how the psalmist weaves together the two ideas of our worship of God and the proclaiming of God's glory among the nation. He weaves it in and out, the worship of God with the proclamation of God's glory among the nations. And I italicized and I underlined to show just how they weave back and forth. But follow along with me as we close. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let us pray.